thought you, that was a big document. I thought it was a tax.
No.
My sense could have been all over.
He got quit his job.
How are you?
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Good.
There's nothing like orange.
Even this not about orange.
Yeah.
You broke what? Yeah, well, don't. You, I know. They always have to be orange.
How are you?
On sale.
Yes, that's awesome.
Thank you.
They always have orange on sale.
Orange paper.
It's a good word.
Put your little campaign in there.
Hello. Fine. You?
Are the blanks in this thing?
Is anybody, from the Senate?
Right, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
No approvals here.
I'm ready.
Price, Paul.
Well, I know that, but I just didn't know where I was ready.
Is it after?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
There will be some lights that can be built until we get to the.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can call this meeting to order. Just for purposes of the record, I'm Ken Alfred. I'm President Pro Tem of the council, and I'll be chairing this meeting in the absence of Mr. Duber. So please rise, join me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you. Mary, you could call the roll, please.
Perry?
Here.
Barron?
Here.
Klein?
Here.
Braverman?
Here.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Here.
Duber?
Not here.
Not here. Okay. If we could have a motion to excuse Mr. Duber from this October 14th council meeting.
Motion made.
Second.
And seconded, thank you.
He has to bring a note from home.
Thank you.
I've seen the wedding pictures, it really happened.
Okay, yes, Mr. Duber does have a legitimate excuse, so if we have any other discussion or congratulations to Mr. Duber, let's go ahead and vote on the motion. Mary?
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay.
Can't
thank
say
you.
No,
okay. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the council meeting of September 9th, 2015?
It should be the 12th.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, you were right. It is. Is the 9th the right date? Is the 9th the right date or the 12th the right date?
No, it's the 9th.
It is the 9th.
The 9th is the right date.
But yeah. They've got the wrong one.
On the minutes.
On the actual minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get a motion to
amend.
Approve. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Klein, thank you. Seconded.
I'll second it.
Mrs. Perry, thank you. Okay. Now, comments. And Mary, you've heard the first one. Is that on the top of the regular meeting minutes? The date should be September 9th, not September 12th. Okay, you got that?
Got it.
Okay, are there other comments that anybody have or catch anything? Well, don't sound like it. Everybody was good? Was it 3 or 4 pages worth of stuff?
Reads like a Hemingway novel.
Reads like a Hemingway novel. Okay, well, in that case, let's go ahead and vote to approve the minutes. Mary, if you could call the roll.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay. Now, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of October 7th? Of 2015?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Perry. Seconds?
I'll second.
Mr. Barron, thank you very much. Okay. Everybody should have a copy of those minutes. Is there any, anybody have any comments or additions or fixes?
No.
Read okay to everybody, looks like? Okay, let's go ahead and call a roll to approve the, those minutes.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's get this out of here. Okay, so moving along to our finances, I need a motion to approve the treasurer's report of August 31st, 2015. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Perry, second?
I second.
Mr. Barron, thank you very much.
How was it?
Okay, Mr. Bloom is.
No, he had to leave.
He had to leave. Okay. Skipped out just when we needed him. Lisa, would you like to?
I'm happy to give a quick recap from what I can remember from Finance Committee last week. When you look at the summary page, we, in the 201 account, there's a note at the bottom. This is showing a negative balance because we, last month, took money out of an account, the general fund, to make that count. Well, I can't remember, did we extend over? It was a timing issue, but I don't remember why.
Timing issue because the revenue will come in a little bit later, so we just borrowed it from the general fund and we'll return it.
Right, thank you, Mayor. And when you look at page one of the spreadsheet, our target percent is 67%, and in our accounts, we are above that, so we're ahead of budget on revenue. And if you look at page nine, the expense page, our target percent is, 23% or something, 28%.
28% unrealized.
33%, thank you. And we are, when you run down the columns, in general, beneath that. So our expenses are under what we budgeted, and our revenues are a little bit ahead of what we budgeted. So we're in good shape from that point of view. Anything I missed, Mayor?
I think that's pretty good.
All right, and then should I go on? Oh, I guess we should call the roll and.
Yeah, is there any other comments or questions from anybody on that? Yeah, the message certainly was positive. We're doing fine. So let's go ahead and vote on that motion to approve the treasurer's report. Mary, call.
Perry.
Did you say Perry? Yes.
Barron.
Yes.
Klein.
Yes.
Braverman.
Yes.
Cluder.
Yes.
Alfred.
Yes. Okay, thank you. And then we do need a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of September 30th of 2015. Do I have a motion?
Motion made.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr.
I'll
Barron.
I'll second it.
And thank you,
Perry.
Mrs. Perry, for the second. And Lisa, since you did such a good job on the.
So you can see the detail on the line items, but I always like to look at the year to gross collections, year to date budget, and if we're over or under budget on the bottom of the page. And as you can see, we're almost $104,000 over budget, which is fabulous. We were much more than that last month, but because of some timing issues again, and because some, I think it was a gross taxes were a little behind this month. We are down to $103,000 over budget, but still looking really great to finish out the year.
Yeah, well, just you'll note that we had a couple of months ago, there had been a request to add to this detail recognition of dollars coming in from the Pinecrest development, which does show up in the report, but as to this date, no revenues have been collected from that.
I guess I have just a housekeeping
question on it. The end, come the end of the year and we have this surplus, where does that?
General fund.
Increases our general fund balance.
It's just, we just can increase the, we don't have to have a balance at the end and somewhere that it's matches up to the original.
No.
Okay.
The question I had is, let me just.
We will be doing some appropriations probably by the end of the year to balance out some funds, right?
Oh, there will be an amended appropriations to make sure that we don't have any dings on our audit.
Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Yes, we will, definitely, by the end of the year.
Do we usually get a big amount at the end of November, which is the end of the extension period for Rita? No?
Oh.
No, they moved the extension period to the end of November.
Yeah, maybe, but people are supposedly paying their taxes in as they go.
Quarterly, yeah. That's a good point. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Perry. Any other questions on the tax administrator's report? No? Okay, well then we can vote to approve the motion, to approve the report. Well, Mary?
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, we now, the next agenda item is discussion of the bills to be paid for October in the amount of $123,521.43 and additional expenses of $50,644.62. That sheet is again in front of you in your packet. Were there questions that people had on the payment of bills? Or give you a minute to go take a look through it or refresh yourself if you
anything you
had once.
You have a problem with?
Just the second set.
Now there's no motion on this.
There's no motion on this. This is just simply a review
discussion.
Of these. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. And additional September expenses. Oh, I see. We finished paying our bill to Zambelli Fireworks for the salute.
Yeah.
To Orange.
Have we been using them?
First year.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It was a pretty good show.
Yeah.
A lot more shows. And the fire department liked them much better, too.
Is that right?
They did a good job, Chief. Okay.
Good show.
Yeah, it was well received. It was a good show.
Right.
Okay, any other comments, questions anybody have? Okay. Good. All right. Well, then we're happy with that, so we can move on. The next agenda item, audience comments relating to agenda items only. Is there anybody in the audience who wanted to come to the mic and make any comment? Doesn't appear so. Okay. Thank you. Fine. All right. Moving on. Old business of pending legislation and motions. Ordinance 2015-19. An ordinance granting a height variance to Lisa and Kevin Chernikoff for an accessory building located at 31,000 Emery Road. This is on for third reading. Mr. Klein, is there a change in this variance request or story here?
The Planning Commission recommended voting this down. I'm surprised they didn't withdraw it.
They did.
Oh, they did.
But because we already had this in the legislative pipeline. So
oh, okay.
We
have to vote no.
Okay. I didn't realize that they had withdrawn it.
So they're not going, they don't need the variance.
They're not building the thing.
Which is another way of saying they don't need the variance.
They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to vote it down,
vote
right?
No.
Okay.
Just to clear the.
We're going to vote it down.
We recommended voting it down based on what it was. Now it's moot.
Okay, but we need, because this is third reading, because in the process it's appropriate.
Yeah. Otherwise it's just always hanging out there. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way you have done it previously.
Yeah, the way it cleaned it up, yeah.
Okay, so following that recommendation, do I need a motion to take roll?
Take a motion to adopt and then before.
So do I have a motion to adopt the ordinance 2015-19?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. So.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mrs. Perry. We have, I think, discussed it adequately. So.
I think we should vote it down.
Okay, Mary, can you please call the roll on this ordinance?
Perry?
Yeah, no.
Barron?
No.
Klein?
Strong no.
Braverman?
No.
Cluder?
No.
Alfred?
No.
So we used to say yes.
Okay, so moved, thank you. Okay, ordinance 2015-20, an ordinance enacting chapter 907 of the Code.
Are we tabling that?
Yeah, we're not doing anything on that.
Excuse me? Okay, well.
We'll bring it back next month after we had a chance to talk to utility reps.
Oh, okay. So this ordinance 2015-20 is tabled for this meeting. Yeah, it'll end up on the agenda.
Because we all missed it.
Okay.
Or you might not have known. Okay, Steve and I missed it.
There you go.
We all.
All right.
Brandon was otherwise occupied.
And Brandon was otherwise occupied, right. Okay, then moving on, is this one still? Is there any other?
No, keep going.
Okay, ordinance 2015-21, an ordinance amending certain sections of chapter 937 of the codified ordinances of Orange Village, which regulate emergency alarm systems within the village, and repealing certain ordinances. This is on for third reading. This one has also been discussed. This is the.
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Perry.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Okay. Is there any discussion that anyone wants to have on the motion on the floor to adopt this ordinance?
No, we.
I think we've discussed it.
We have discussed it a number of times. So, okay. With the motion on the table, let's call roll on the motion to adopt.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay, thank you. The next order of business, ordinance 2015-24, an ordinance adopting a new chapter 776 of the codified ordinances of Orange Village regarding the municipal income tax and declaring an emergency. This one is on for third reading, and just reminding folks that by declaring an emergency, this means that if adopted, this ordinance goes into effect immediately upon passage.
Well, is that? Yes, but the chapter of the code will go into effect January 1st. The tax code will change.
Yeah, right. We're just picking up the state changes. So
okay.
When the state moves, we'll move. We'll be moved.
Okay, do I have a motion to adopt ordinance 2015-24?
So moved.
Mr. Braverman, thank
second.
You.
And second.
Seconded Mr. Klein, thank you. Is there any further discussion on the motion and on the ordinance as proposed? Okay, well then, Mary, let's call the roll on the motion to adopt.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay, thank you. All right, the next agenda item, ordinance 2015-27 amended, an ordinance establishing the compensation for the position of building commissioner and declaring an emergency. This is on for second reading.
Are we,
Mayor?
The administration would like to request a suspension. What is different about this one as amended is the first ordinance had a building commissioner's name in it. We have removed the name because it's non-specified now to be filled in very soon as to who it will be. But I need this in place so that I can get a building commissioner hired and up and running. And then when that happens, hopefully you will all confirm the choice without there being any issue, because we need to get somebody in there immediately, because
we
gave notice to Safe Built and that ends today.
Do we have to have the name of the employee in the ordinance for compensation?
Oh. I don't know why it was the first time, because we thought we knew who it was.
All right.
So things changed dramatically in the last couple of days, but we still need a building commissioner. I still need a range to be able to offer them a pay. So I would be appreciative if you would suspend the rules tonight, and the choice that we make will come back next month to.
I move to suspend the rules.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Mrs. Cluter, thank you. Mary, why don't we call roll on that?
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes. Okay. And then I would need or would like a motion to adopt ordinance 2015-27.
So moved.
Thank you, Mrs. Perry. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Klein, thank you.
Is the range, is that the market range? I mean, before we were kind of working around.
Well, we can get somebody
in the range
with experience in that range.
Okay.
Are you asking if it's too low, too high, too?
Well, that's what I'm not sure where it is.
It'll fit in it.
Okay.
Barely.
Okay, this allows you to know enough with room to accomplish our, this.
Well, and then to allow for a little, you know, raises over the next year, two, three, before
right.
we have to come back and change the range.
Yes, that's what I mean, okay.
Right, we're not gonna start at the top.
Of course. Okay. So we have a motion on the table. Are there any other comments or questions relative to this ordinance? If not, let's go ahead and call roll to pass the ordinance.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are done.
We're working on it.
Okay. Moving on then to new business and introduction and consideration of ordinance 2015-28, an ordinance facilitating the financing of public infrastructure improvements for the benefit of the Pinecrest Development Project by Pinecrest Project Partners, LLC, by authorizing the execution of a cooperative agreement and various related agreements and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading. I know Mr. Findlay and Mr. Singerman, you are here to help council understand this ordinance and these set of documents. So, gentlemen, if you could just introduce yourself at the mic for the record, and the floor is yours.
Good evening. I'm Price Findlay with Bricker and Eckler Law Firm. We've been working with the village for a number of months now on the Pinecrest project, and probably asking yourself, why are we here? It's a question I ask myself every day.
Have you come up with an answer?
I ask myself, so no. But no, I thought in order to get back kind of to where we are today, I thought we ought to go back. And I will refrain from a reference to a movie with Michael Keaton from, anyway. So I want to go back to what we did back in the late spring, okay? And then kind of bring us forward to why we're here today, looking at legislation to approve a cooperative agreement as the kind of the basic document for this transaction. There's also at least one other agreement that I've provided a draft to you that the village will be a party to, and I can explain that in more detail. But the cooperative agreement is the key agreement that's being approved by the ordinance that you have in front of you. So I don't know how well you'll be able to see this, hopefully well enough. But if you remember, back on May 6th, council adopted ordinance 2015-11 that approved the TIF for the Pinecrest project and also authorized a tax increment service payment agreement. Okay, what did that agreement do? I think we need to understand that first, and then we'll understand better maybe why we're doing the cooperative agreement now. So if you start with the concept under the TIF, you have the developer who owns the property. Now you can't read that probably very well, I apologize, but it says that the developer under the normal course, under this TIF arrangement, would make service payments in lieu of taxes to Cuyahoga County. The county, in turn, would transfer those service payments to the village to be deposited into a TIF fund. And in the normal course, those TIF monies would be paid out for public infrastructure expenses that benefit the site. And we've talked about what those public infrastructure improvements are. They include the parking facility, internal roads, sidewalks, streetscape improvements, et cetera, et cetera. However, without this arrangement that we're going to put in place through the cooperative agreement, there's no way for the leveraging of those monies, because those are collected annually with property taxes. And so you don't have the money up front to pay for those actual infrastructure improvements without putting another mechanism in place. So what we do in this, under this cooperative agreement, is we have bond purchasers who buy bonds issued by the Port Authority. And you'll see in the agreement that that Port Authority is, the name of that port is still blank. The developers represented here tonight answer any questions, but they're still working on the details to finalize the arrangement for the issuing Port Authority.
Can that be a Port Authority other than our county?
It can legally, yes.
Can it be out of the state?
It could, but it won't. So the bond, under this cooperative agreement, what we're setting up is that the bond purchasers buy bonds issued by the Port Authority. The proceeds from the purchase of those bonds go to the bond trustee. The trustee holds those monies from the purchase of the bonds in a project fund and disperses those bond funds to pay for those costs of infrastructure improvements that we now need to make today. So that's how we are able to leverage those dollars today through this mechanism. How do we then get the TIF funds in play? Well, the TIF funds then go down to a dispersing agent who disperses the money back to the bond trustee for the benefit of the bondholders. And then the bond trustee pays the bond investors from those TIF monies over time. TIF monies come in annually, the debt service is paid annually, those two things match up. And that's what the cooperative agreement puts in place, is this relationship to create the funding for the public infrastructure improvements and to provide the mechanism by which the TIF monies are then used to pay debt service on the bonds. Clear as mud, right?
That's what you're looking at.
I'd be happy to provide you one.
That would be helpful, because I'm great following diagram. Along. But.
So that's the basic concept. Any questions on why we're doing this cooperative agreement? I've got some key points that I want to make about the cooperative agreement itself to kind of focus on some of the key elements, but in terms of the flow of funds.
The
Mayor?
I asked, you said the payments are made annually. They're probably semi-annually.
They're semi-annually, yeah.
This whole
principal's paid annually. Interest is paid semi-annually. Correct.
It's
typically.
It's just a timing device.
Yep.
For how long?
For 30 years. For as long as the bonds are outstanding.
It'll be in place the whole time?
Sorry?
It'll be in place the whole time?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Unless they refinance, right?
Yeah. If they retire.
Even under refinancing, they probably keep the structure in place. Okay? Don't have to come back to the village for additional approval of a new cooperative agreement. This creates the whole mechanism where the village says, we've created the TIF, we're assigning the TIF monies to the bond trustee, and the trustee takes care of it from there. So what are the key elements of this cooperative agreement from the village's perspective? First, and probably most importantly, the village does not have any liability for the financing or the construction of the development or the public infrastructure improvements. The village's role is to put the TIF in place, which you've already done, to enter into this cooperative agreement that assigns these TIF revenues as collected now to pay the bonds, and that's really it. The bonds are issued by the Port Authority. The village is not involved with the issuance of the bonds. It's only with respect to that assignment of TIF revenue. As has been provided in other agreements, the cooperative agreement provides for a specific indemnification of the village by the developer. What else? There's a completion guarantee, or to the extent that there are completion guarantees with respect to the financing itself. This cooperative agreement provides that those guarantees will also run to the village. We're not seeking, in this case, anything over and above what's being provided in connection with the financing, but it's simply that whatever guarantees are being provided in connection with the financing that would run to the investors will also run to the village. It's not likely that's going to have a lot of significance, because it's obviously in the best interest of the lenders to see this project get finished. They're the ones who are going to enforce the completion guarantee if necessary. One of the things that we've worked on quite a bit, and there's quite a bit of verbiage in the agreement about it, is that if there are excess service payments, that is TIF revenues in any year in excess of debt service on the bonds, amounts necessary to fill up a debt service reserve fund, additional interest that has to be paid to the initial purchaser of these bonds, as all set out in the draft cooperative agreement. If there are excess TIF funds, after the first year, there's a portion of those excess TIF funds that will be paid over to the village. Those monies, under Ohio law, can be used by the village to provide for other public infrastructure improvements that might be outside the strict definition of what's being funded under the bond financing. For instance, you're likely over this 30-year period of time to have arterial streets that are going to need to be rebuilt, repaired, etc. And so Ohio law permits the use of those TIF dollars to provide for those infrastructure improvements outside of the development itself, because those still provide a direct benefit to the development by providing access. Also, at the end of the TIF period, so it's a long way out, but 30 years, if there are any excess service payments at that time, Ohio law provides that those monies are remitted to the village and are deposited into the village's general fund. At that time, at the completion of the TIF, there is no nexus between those TIF dollars and public infrastructure. They could be used for any purpose. Now, don't go fund your children's or your grandparents', your grandchildren's education relying on these excess TIF dollars, because they're not likely to be significant or, you know, exist at all. So, but again, what we've provided is a mechanism where if those dollars are generated, and of course, everyone in this room hopes that this project is wildly successful and that it is generating excess dollars. We've got a mechanism to address that if that were to occur.
Does that mean there's no prepayment?
There's no prepayment of TIF dollars. TIF is collected with respect to property taxes.
Buy the TIF dollars to the trustee.
I'm sorry?
Buy the TIF to the bond trustee.
That's a separate thing. So the bonds are issued. Typically, they'll have a period of time where there is no refinancing because the investors want to know, typically for 10 years,
yeah,
that they've got the right to receive those full amounts each year. And at the end of that 10-year period, there's the ability to refund or refinance the bonds at that time. What you'll find in that case, and that means that the project's going well and we're able to take out this initial financing, and when I say we, I mean the Port Authority, not the village, right?
Yeah.
We'll be able to refinance this, lower the cost of funds, hopefully, and that could generate additional excess service payments at that time.
But the bonds don't have a call on them. We can't take them out early.
No, they will.
They'll have a 10-year call.
Huh?
But when you say take out early, I think I hear you saying we'll pay it all off early. No, that's probably not going to happen.
In other words, the notion of excess funds, you know, one use might have been to call in.
It's more likely that you're going to see an increase in excess service payments than a shortening of the financing period, unless things are really wildly successful.
All right. I'll think about that.
As has been discussed and was provided in the development agreement, this financing will provide for the construction of the Safety Force mini station that will be located on the site. And that will be conveyed to the village under a lease arrangement that's currently being drafted. And it'll be available to you, and it'll be added to the cooperative agreement before you're asked to give final approval of the agreement.
Okay.
A couple other things that are in this cooperative agreement. We've provided that, and the developer has agreed, that all of the aggregate building permit applications that are submitted with respect to the construction of buildings on the project site will be at least $125 million in the aggregate. What's the value of that? It's not clear, frankly. But one of the things that can happen is that the county auditor can, or often does, base value of for tax purposes of a new project on the basis of representations in building permits. Now, that doesn't typically stay in place for very long, because at some point the fiscal officer uses a different methodology that's keyed off of actual activity with respect to leases and operations and so forth. But it's a good way to kind of set a foundation for a starting place. And the second thing that's important, and we heard council and the mayor speak to this when we were getting approval of the TIF ordinance back in May, we've got a provision in the cooperative agreement where the developer agrees not to contest the tax valuation on the TIF parcels below $195,550,000. That's, again, in the aggregate.
Right, yeah. But okay. Then it's not broken down on the individual parcel?
No.
Okay.
No. So those are the key features of the cooperative agreement. I think the things to stress are no village liability for financing or construction. No village liability or guarantees with respect to completion of the project itself. No guarantees with respect to the payment of debt service. No one can come back to the village and say, the TIF revenues are not adequate, you need to plug the gap. There's no ability for someone to come and say that to the village. And second, you know, we've got this indemnification clause that's typical for contracts. That's not as significant as an issue. But
let me just go back to the last slide for a minute. I just want to, in other words, that's really our floor. The $195 million is really our floor. I mean, it looks like a ceiling, but
it's
really
the floor. It's the floor that the developer has agreed to.
Right, and no contest will occur.
Now,
unless the aggregate value is below that number.
A couple of things that I think need to be emphasized there. One is, under certain circumstances, the county fiscal officer, during a sexennial reappraisal, can go out and independently determine that the valuation of a building needs to be reduced.
Right.
The property doesn't control that. The village doesn't control that. Under a lot of those situations, you're going to see a board of revision complaint filed by the school district, who has standing.
They don't want that value reduced.
They don't want the value reduced, even though it's in a TIF, because that drives the compensation payments.
We don't want it reduced either.
No, you don't, but you don't have standing to actually bring a board of revision complaint.
We can file an amicus. No, yeah. Never mind. Okay. All right. I got it. Well, I mean, I think it's because, you know, it looks like a ceiling, but it's actually a floor.
No, it's a floor.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Got it.
All right.
Other questions?
No.
Well, that's clear.
In general, is there anything in this cooperative agreement which is unique to this particular development and TIF arrangement, or is everything, if you will, you know, elements of what I call a standard or usual TIF agreement to support some development?
I always tell my clients that there is no such thing as a boilerplate or standard TIF agreement. Everyone is unique. Everyone has unique features. This provision that goes on for 2.5 pages now that addresses the remote possibility that there are excess service payments in the future, the way it's worded, is quite unique. okay? We constructed that from whole cloth. But the concept of providing for some amount in excess of debt service over the term of a TIF to come back to the jurisdiction that created the TIF in the first place, you'll see those a lot of times, you know, be a part of the deal, if you will. Things like building permit, minimum permit, building permit value, application values. Those are pretty common. Agreements not to contest below a certain floor. Those are pretty common. Indemnification, pretty common.
Okay, now, Matt, is that number that they can't go below, does that protect us? And I mean, is there a sense that that's the right floor? Excuse me? No.
But the school board could contest it with the village. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you $995 million.
Well, but I mean, if the floor were permanent, if the value was always at the floor level, just for conversation's sake, would we ever have not excess service, but would we ever have less service funds than we need to pay? Excuse me?
You should be in balance there. At the $195 million, the debt service
right.
is structured.
And if it went lower, would we have a problem with the service fees? That's my.
That's not the responsibility of the village.
Okay. That's not the village's issue. This agreement provides with respect to the developer and future property owners that if in any year the amount of service payments collected are less than the amount necessary to pay debt service,
right.
there is what's called a minimum service payment that is paid over and above the service payments to cover the gap.
By?
But that's not by the property owner. But that's not the village's concern.
Okay.
Right. Village is not on the hook for any of that. The village does not have any, okay. you know, specific
right.
claims toward that.
Okay.
Now, this particular agreement is between the village and the the developer.
This agreement is a five-party agreement
right,
among the village, and you see them here on the screen. The right. village, the Port Authority, Pinecrest Project Partners LLC, which, by the way, you may have noticed that's a different name than was in the development agreement. That is the entity that has been created for this project to reflect the partnership between Pine Orange LLC, the party that entered into the development agreement, and Lennar. So that's why that name is different than what you saw. So you've brought additional resources into the project now, and that's what that reflects. Then the last two entities are U.S. Bank and Huntington. They serve as trustees, and what's currently being contemplated is that there will actually be two series of bonds issued by the Port Authority. One is a kind of a standard conduit bond where the TIF revenue just flows through to the bond investors ultimately. The other one is what's called a bond fund bond. The Cleveland Port and other ports in Ohio have what are called common bond funds that allow for a bunch of different borrowers to participate in a pooled reserve approach to financing and therefore lower their cost. That bond fund for Cleveland is rated BBB+, so it's investment grade, which means that they can borrow money at a lower cost. So they want to throw as much of the financing into the bond fund as the bond fund will agree to take on. And that's why this is set up with two trustees.
And the school board's not
The school board is not a party to this agreement. That we've already memorialized their compensation rights under the compensation agreement
covered.
That was authorized by the TIF ordinance.
Okay, but
they're
that
covered.
Then doesn't transfer over through to this document at all.
Well, the payments that the school district gets will flow through this.
The 25%.
Exactly.
25% does. Okay. That was really where I was going with how does that get to them?
Yeah.
To them.
It comes through us and we just send
yeah.
it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the question is that was a great introduction.
Thank you.
I bet it's a difficult read. The question would be, when do you want them to come back to answer the questions? Or I'm sure they'll take calls from anybody anytime? Or
email, phone call, come back. This would be, if you all determine to proceed, this would be receive second reading November 4th, third reading, and hopefully passage on the 11th.
And as you told me before, by that time all the numbers will be filled in on the document.
Not all of the numbers. They probably won't have the bond sold at the time that the ordinance is approved. So what happens is we get the basic structure authorized by the village. Also, the Port Authority has to approve this structure. In fact, they've got a meeting scheduled on November 12th. So it actually lines up very well to have council approval on the 11th and port approval on the 12th. After that time, they would gear up and they would go in the market to sell the bonds. At that time, then they have their rates and they know the actual dollar amount for the bonds. Those terms are plugged in at that time. Nothing gets signed until we get to the bond closing, when all the proceeds are going to be exchanged and so forth. So we, the lawyers on your behalf, are at the closing table making sure that everything is as you have approved.
Okay.
That's our role to get through the final piece here.
I do want to make it clear to council that at this point in time, we do not have an agreement with the Port Authority, with a Port Authority. And so we're coming to you in the hopes and in the spirit that by the time we get to that third reading, we'll be able to have that agreement in place. But I want to make it crystal clear as of today, where the document is drafted, we've left that blank because we're not complete with those negotiations.
Does it have to be with just one Port Authority?
It would be our preference that it would be with one, yes. It doesn't have to be, though. It doesn't have to be, but that's, I think, given the size of this transaction, that's where we're headed.
Chris, can you share, is there any particular issues that are causing that negotiation to
No, there's not a particular issue. It's just a timing issue, but I just want to make it clear that as of this evening, we don't have that negotiation completed, and we haven't selected that port, so I wanted to make sure we were clear of that on the record. Nothing to be worried about. It's just a timing issue, and that will obviously have to be completed prior to the final reading. Thanks.
If I could just add, good evening, everybody. Just as we would never want to represent that this body politic has taken action that they hadn't yet taken, we didn't want to suggest that body politic.
The other agreement that you have in the packet and that is specifically referenced in the ordinance is what I refer to as a tax lien sale agreement. The village has to be a party to that because it's the village that is collecting the TIF revenues legally. But that is an agreement with the Cuyahoga County that the county fiscal officer would not sell off delinquent tax liens at a discount
on the properties that have been optioned into the development. Is that what we're talking about?
We're talking about any property within the development,
yeah,
that would be delinquent with the payment of property taxes.
Right.
There's a whole process, a whole step-by-step process for moving through efforts to collect those taxes late, impose the fines and the fees and so forth, interest. And then after a certain period of time, those continue to be delinquent. And there is a practice among various counties to sell off those lien certificates to leverage those funds early. But they're sold for cents on the dollar.
Right.
What that does is that messes up the TIF revenue stream because you're expecting a certain amount that is equal to debt service. And so you don't want to have the county auditor disrupting that revenue stream by doing that. And the county, I say county auditor because 87 counties have an auditor, Cuyahoga doesn't do. Anyway, so excuse me for that. The fiscal officer, as the fiscal officer for the county, has the ability to do this. They've agreed not to do this for other TIF projects. It's common practice, but the village has to be a party to that. There's no obligation for the village under that, but they have to be a party to it under state law.
What's the ultimate collection process for those delinquencies?
Just ultimately, there would be, it could be, a sale at foreclosure in order to satisfy the delinquency.
Really?
Very, very rare, because that means someone's definitely getting stiffed. But not the taxes because of their lien priority.
Yeah, okay.
Are there other questions people have?
No.
Mr. Finley or Mr. Singerman or Matt or?
Just let me know if you want another, you know, after you read it, if on the 4th you want them to come back and answer questions or have them come back on the 11th when we vote. Just whatever you guys need to work through it.
I just want to thank Mr. Finley for putting together a very well-organized presentation on this. It made it very understandable.
I would like a hard copy, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Work has those, and we'll make sure you get those.
Thank
you. Mayor, the only thing that I would add is Council Mike, I don't want to be surprised, there might be some minor alteration to the final tax. I suggest that only as much as I had a conversation like today with U.S. Bank, serving as trustee on the board for the annual funds, the E board for the annual funds.
Document designates MAS Advisory Services, that's Matt Stasinski, as the TIF administrator.
Does that mean that some of the sort of administrative and accounting responsibilities that we have, he'll help us with or actually handle?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and there, I'm presuming that
you'll have to keep track of every parcel and.
Okay, so is there anything in all
isn't
of this?
Isn't there an app for that, Matt? I mean,
isn't
there an app for that? Yeah, I mean.
I hope to develop
an app for that.
Okay.
And his fees come from the trustees, right? Not out of our proceeds.
Right.
The proceeds that the village will receive and forward to the trustee.
But is after your fees are taken?
Oh, that's correct.
Okay. I mean, obviously there's a huge paper trail, you know, that's created by these agreements and the flow of dollars through these various and sundry bodies, all of which in some ways have been anticipated by the village in terms of what we have to do administratively.
He comes in and talks to Dave and Matt to make sure they understand what
okay. So they're not going any more balls than they already are by hearing all of whatever these obligations are to them.
Well, they have to understand it, but Matt will make sure they do.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, the village's role is fairly simple.
Take the money and spend the money.
Thank you. Any
that's
other?
Cool.
I just have a question for Adam. I can't dress it up too much. I guess. I mean, we're blessed to be working with a developer who's very active in the community at large, not just Orange, but Greater Cleveland. Does that activity have any impact on our financing? Does it speed it up, slow it down, or impact the terms in any way? I guess I'm asking where we are on the priority, or I'm not sure what I'm asking.
You're special. Good evening. Adam Fishman, Fairmont Properties. Good to be with you. Thank you for the question. There's no question our firm is busy. I think part of what's resonated with you good people and with the people of Hudson and the constituency along the riverfront in downtown Cleveland and other places is that we're very focused on making places and doing it right, and for many of the reasons we're before you today is the reasons we're at other places. We continue to expand our staff and our financial wherewithal, for example, here by bringing an investor, one of the largest home building and real estate owners in the country to participate in this deal right now. Gives us plenty of bandwidth to execute that which we have in front of us. We won't take on more than we can handle, and we're very careful. And we're very careful about that. There's a pretty long pile of things that we just don't pursue at all because they either aren't relevant to our mission or they're beyond our capacity. I could tell you